Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusea. Anthony Brooks and Meghna Chakrabarty are out today. This Sunday brings the long-awaited return of Mad Men, the AMC marquee show that sets Madison Avenue advertisers amidst a sea of cigarette smoke, adultery, and whiskey, and vodka, and gin. But if you're looking for a cocktail party before your martini-themed Mad Men party this weekend, you are in luck. Tonight in Kenmore Square, the Commonwealth Hotel's Bar The Hawthorn is hosting a cocktail competition to anoint the next great mixologist. For more on the Boston cocktail culture, I headed over to the Hawthorn to meet up with bar manager Jackson Cannon. And he started by explaining that the Mad Men era was actually not the cocktail's heyday.
No, not so much. As stylish as that kind of Mad Men vibe is, cocktails were not really at the kind of proliferation stage that we're at now.
What's on the horizon for the Boston cocktail scene? Is it all going to be molecular gastronomy and eggs and foams and vapors and stuff?
I don't think so. I mean, look at the places that just opened up right now, brick and mortar over in Central Square, kind of a stirred first concept. That's very classic. You know, Saloon and Back Bar in the Cambridge Somerville area are that sort of slow cocktail movement, classics first. You know, we've done this thing with this kind of like you can be very comfortable and not have to nerd out on it too much, but you can have amazing cocktails. So I kind of think the one thing about the Boston scene that remains a constant is this sense of hospitality.
So when I go out to drink in town now, I find a few things are very, very common. I find like aromatic bitters are very common. I find that gin is very common, these sort of spicy flavors. What else is really popular these days?
Mezcal.
What is mezcal?
It's an agave spirit that's not tequila.
Okay.
So it's made from the Blue Weber or the sister agaves like Tobola and Espadine.
These are these little sort of cactus-like plants that
grow in Mexico. Yeah, they look like cactus, but they're related to lilies. The sugars that are in them are highly toxic. They need to be broken down, as is the tradition in tequila. In Jalisco, for tequila, they do a steam process usually. Most mezcal out of Oaxaca is done with a fire roasting process. That's the real divergent flavor profile. You get this kind of smoky characteristic, almost like scotch. When a artisan mezcal is made properly, you get a balance of all kinds of spice and sour cream flavors, really earth tones.
Well, do you want to show me a couple of things you're thinking about?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go over to the bar. All right, I'm going to do, since we're talking about mezcal, it's called the Naked and Famous, which is always just kind of a great toast anyway, right?
Sure, yeah.
O to B. I'm going to start with the Chuchicapa, which is one of the Del Maguey mezcals, with the yellow chartreuse, the magic juice, Aperol. This is a bitter that's very similar to Campari, but a little less astringent. All right, so we're going to shake it. Watch out. You can see that drink is bubbling up. As Embry would say, drink it while it's still laughing at you.
When it's foamy?
When it's still like little air pops coming up.
It smells very sort of citrusy. Wow. It's smokier than I was expecting.
That's the mezcal.
It's like having a drink at a barbecue joint. Like a really, really nice drink. That's just delicious. My wife always makes fun of me because whenever we go out to eat or drink, whatever I end up ordering invariably ends up being sort of chartreuse or pink or sort of orange in its color.
It's radio, but you're wearing a pink shirt right
That's
now.
That's true. I totally am. I know, exactly.
Let the record show that I'm wearing 57 Chevy Blue right now.
No, you are definitely the more Don Draper of the two of us. But this drink, even though it doesn't like look like something Draper would drink because it's got this kind of nice sort of fruit color to it, it totally tastes like something Don Draper would drink.
Let's stay on that theme. Let's make another drink potentially foo-foo looking that I think is a lot more complex.
Okay.
I'm going to do a champagne cocktail that I call the Silver Line. Really a variation on a French 75. Instead of using sugar, we're using a French product called Parfait Amour. And this is a really fun violet liqueur with a vanilla and orange overtones to it.
It is deep purple.
This is the key ingredient in the Stardust cocktail, which is a fun old rum drink.
Worth noting, of course, that the kind of shaker you're using is called a Boston shaker, right?
It is a Boston shaker.
Do we know where that comes from?
You know, that hasn't been proven yet, but we do know where the Hawthorn Strainer, which goes with the Boston Shaker, is from. That's the origin of the name of the bar we're in. The Hawthorne strainer is the spring-loaded device I'm using to strain the cocktail out. It is called that because one of the early existing diagrams is one from a place in Boston on Avery Street in the 19th century called the Hawthorne Cafe. It was a gentleman's club. So there were a lot of different spring-loaded strainers in the 19th century being worked on and patented, and theirs was the one that kind of got the name for the family, sort of like Xerox does for all copiers.
That's fantastic. Here comes the champagne.
And this is a cocktail that's kind of got that look. Tall, flute, kind of bubbling. Looks a little frilly, but I'll let you be the judge.
I don't know, because once the purple has been diluted with the champagne, which is sort of vaguely yellow, it kind of takes on this sort of gunmetal gray color, which is very manly. Whoa. You're going to probably find this description insulting, but it's the only thing I can come up with. When I was a little kid, I used to take sweet tarts and grind them up and put them in soda water. It's like that, but
good. That's
not a bad
thing. If you are citing a childhood candy, that means I'm touching your nostalgia nerve. That's a very important thing to be doing. Passion fruit does that a lot for me. I don't even know what candy it was that had that flavor. But when I taste passion fruit or something, I'm like, I'm just a little boy. Everything is fine.
You go to my head and you linger like a haunting refrain.
So tell us again what you're doing tonight.
Tonight, the maestro Salvador Cabresi, the man behind London's legendary 50 and a leader of the London Revival, which was a harbinger for the Boston and New York cocktail revivals that we're enjoying now, is here for a mashup competition with Robert Earl and Laura Falcone. They're going to do some judging of kind of the next wave of young bartenders. So that's tonight from 6 to 7:30.
Well, I realize that I've drunk out of these glasses, but will you drink with me?
Absolutely.
All right. Cheers. That's the Hawthorne's Jackson Cannon. More information about tonight's event, go to our website, radioboston.org.